Welcome to Unlocking the Truth, a podcast by Precept Ministries Canada. Come discover God's truth for yourself by studying His Word and deepen your personal and transformational relationship with God. You are listening to the series on 1 Peter, Hope Resurrected, a living hope in difficult times.
Hello, everyone. It's Mark Sheldrake here, and welcome back to another episode of Unlocking the Truth podcast. This is a ministry of Precept Ministries in Canada. So glad that you are tuning in with us. We are starting a new series this week on the book of 1 Peter, and I just love these two letters by 1 Peter. The podcast has already done 2 Peter previously. You can go back through the archives, find those episodes. We didn't do those in videos. This is a second series on video via YouTube. So glad that you can tune in and go via these videos and not just the audio. Thanks for the comments, the encouragement that's coming in through the podcast. Keep them coming so that we can share what you are learning with the people out in the country and around the world. There's people listening to this from all over the world, and we are thankful that the Lord has opened the door for us to be able to do that. Before we get into this series, let me give you a couple of things that you need to check out via our website. One of the things that we would encourage you to do is study along with us. Not just take in this content, but study 1 Peter along with us. You can do that by going to our e-store, and you can study in three different ways. The majority of the way that these episodes are going to break down, they are going to line up with the Precept Upon Precept series or the In and Out series, but you can also get this series, the Living with Discernment in End Times. If you picked up this book when we were studying through the book of Jude, you've got 1 Peter in there. I have got great news for you if you have Living with Discernment in End Times. Not only do you have Jude already in there, 1 Peter we're doing now, and in the archives, 2 Peter, you can study through 13 weeks of these three books of the Bible and use the podcast to enhance your learning. All right, so that's really great that this book will now have been completed through our podcast series, and you can find it on our website easily. Either go to our website, click the Unlocking the Truth podcast link, and the link to the book will be there. Or you can get that maybe down in the comments of the YouTube section. And finally, you can get it by searching Book of the Bible anyway on our website, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, or Jude, and we will send you that book. That book is $10.99, I believe, not a huge expense for 13 weeks of study. And I would encourage you, like I always do, and every time we start a new episode, study with us. Make sure that you are digging into the Word of God for yourself. All right, that's one thing. The other thing that for you to look into is, again, our Problem with Evil conferences coming up very soon in locations all across Canada. We are already taking registrations for our conference in Alberta. And we will soon be taking registrations for our conference in Saskatchewan, and then, of course, East Coast and West Coast. Check out the website for all the details on the Problem with Evil conference. Come spend a Friday night and a Saturday with us and engage in Scripture with other believers as we look at that topic of the problem with evil. Final thing that we want to cover is that if you are being impacted by the Unlocking the Truth podcast ministry, go on to the website, click the Give Today button, and you can give and support the work that Precept Ministries in Canada is doing. Our ministry is making an impact not just here in Canada, but around the world. as we translate materials into French, as we support our Bible study leaders and students all across Canada. And then again, because this podcast is reaching so many people around the world by the different platforms that we're on, we can use the gifts that come in through the podcast to help support the ministry of precept and keep things like this going without any issue. And here in 2024, we're looking for 2,500 new people to give $100, $100 for the entire year, $2 a week, a commitment of $10 over 10 months. Not a big commitment to do that. And those funds will help the ministry in Canada keep our training for free. All that problem with the Evil Conference is not going to be at any charge. And it allows us to do more work to get the gospel out in Canada. All right, so these are all the details. These are the things that we would love for you to support the ministry in, whether it be through doing a class, studying along with us in the podcast, supporting through financial gifts, or joining us on the Greece tour. All right, let me pray for our time, and then we're going to dive in to our overview week on 1 Peter. Father, we do thank you for this technology. We thank you for the people who are listening in each and every episode that comes out. We're thankful for the time that we had in the book of Jude. And as we turn our attention now to Peter's first letter, Father, would you speak to us about how this letter can apply to us today? And we're so thankful that we have your word. We're thankful for that we have the tool of inductive Bible study, that we can observe, interpret, and apply scripture together, and we can learn from you. So we commit our time this week in our episode to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said in the opening, I love these letters to that Peter's written. I don't know if you know this, but Peter has sort of a reputation that he is the apostle of hope. Paul, the apostle of faith. John, the apostle of love. And I don't know about you, but as we begin to work through these 8 episodes, remember this week we're going to do a 10,000 foot view of 1 Peter, but as we work through these episodes, we need to keep in mind that, yes, this letter is as applicable today as it was the day that it was written. And we're going to pull all that out today. But here's, I think, one of the great reasons that we should be looking into 1 Peter is because there are times in our lives when we just need hope and encouragement to press on in the days that we are living in. That NISS book, or New Inductive Study Series book, Living with Discernment in End Times. We are inching closer to the return of Jesus Christ every single day. And I pray, Lord Jesus, come. Because when I look at what's going on around our culture, it can be quite hopeless. But we want to keep our eyes focused on hope. And that's why we're going to be looking at 1 Peter. All right, folks, we're going to dive into this, and here's how we're going to approach over the next 8 episodes. All right, so for the first episode, which we're looking at now, overview, 10,000-foot view, episodes 2 and 3, we're going to be looking at chapter 1. Episode 4 and 5, chapter 2, part of chapter 3. Episode 6, chapter 3, the rest of it from chapter verse 7 all the way to 22. Episode 7, chapter 4, episode 8, chapter 5. So we're going to spend a lot of time looking at those first 2 chapters, and then we'll draw out those final chapters in our final weeks. Remember, always looking back to applying the scripture to our lives. All right, so let's look at verse 1. And if you were doing an overview, if you were doing the overview all by yourself, and if you want to go back and do it this week after watching this podcast, go through the entire letter, circle all the references to Peter, all the references to the recipients, and write what you learn about each one of them. All right. So that's how you can find these important tools that we're going to bring out right now in the text. All right. Verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Oh, man, just so much in those first two verses. We could have an entire episode on those first two verses. But let's look at the important fact here first, Peter. All right, Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ. So right there in verse 1, we get the author. We also get the recipients, but we'll look at them in a minute. As we work through that overview, and this is what I've done ahead of time for you already, is I've gone through the entire letter. I have read through it multiple times. I have put a circle around every reference to the author, and then I created a list of everything I learned about the author from the text. And so now I'm just going to bring out what my list brought out from the text about Peter. First, we want to look at him from the main verses of chapters 1 to 5. Okay, so he calls himself an apostle. All right, that's an important part that he states there. It gives him the authority and who is he's an apostle of, which is Jesus Christ. All right, in chapter 5, verse 1, we get some more information about Peter. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. All right, so let's look at here. He tells us that he is an elder. He's a witness of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. He's a partaker of the glory that is to come. All right, if you look at verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will, not of God and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. There's this call to shepherd, but we also know that Peter was a shepherd of the flock. Peter was a shepherd of the church. He's an elder of the church. He's a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He's a partaker of the glory, and he is a shepherd. All right, so these are all things that are found when we look through the text, and we just put that circle over the reference to the author. If you're going to do that this week, keep in mind that there are other areas where that circle may come up, but you want to look for facts about who Peter is, and not just every reference. Where does it tell us in the scripture something about him? All right, so once we've gone through that first letter, those five chapters, and we've learned about Peter and what we know about from there, we can ask ourselves, what does the rest of scripture tell us about Peter? All right, so we're going to go and we're going to look into the Gospels. All right, so Peter said that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And so we are going to look at this apostleship and how this all came about. We're going to start and we're going to look into John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. And if you are taking notes and you want to write this down, the parallel passage or the same story that occurs is also in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. So we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 40 and 42. Okay, so it says, one of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated as Peter. Andrew, according to John and according to Mark, he found the Messiah and he came back and he told Simon about it. Simon came and he was with Jesus, and Jesus changed Simon's name from Peter to Cephas. All right, so that's an important fact about John, about Peter and who he is. We're going to look at another important fact about Peter, and who was this Peter? All right, so Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew chapter 14, here's what we're going to read about Peter this time. All right, it starts in verse 22 and goes to verse 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took a hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt him? Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. Those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, "You are certainly God's son." All right, so here, Peter, we know this story. If we've attended Sunday school for a long time, we know the story of Peter going out and walking on the water and seeing all that was happening around him, getting frightened and beginning to sink and crying out to Jesus. This is the same Peter who wrote these two letters of hope. All right, let's look at another reference to Peter from the Gospels and learn more about who this Peter is. And for this one, it's Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. All right, now, when Jesus had come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Jesus said to Peter, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." All right, so Jesus makes a pretty big statement to Peter after Peter truly points out that Jesus is the Son of God. That's one of my most favorite stories to teach on our Israel tour. And because Caesarea Philippi is just one of those amazing locations that you've got to check out firsthand. So maybe one day we'll get into the Gospels through the podcast and we can dive deeper into this passage. But let's look at the things that we learn about Peter here. He recognized Jesus as the Son of the living God. Jesus responds and says, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." And he says, "I'll give you, Peter, the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom of heaven." All right, this is also some really great stuff. All right, let's look at another example of Peter from the Gospels. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to the high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to him, "Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell down to the ground and were terrified. Jesus came to them and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." Where was Peter? Peter was up on the hill at the transfiguration story we know in Scripture, and he heard the very voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The same Peter that says, "I was a witness to Christ's sufferings," was also a witness to God speaking clearly that Jesus is the Son of God. All right, let me give you a couple other passages. We won't have time to look at all of them, but here's another one. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. In that story, Peter denies Jesus three times before his crucifixion. Here's another one for you. John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples are out fishing. Jesus meets them on the shore. And then as Jesus is talking with Peter, he restores him three times. Then what we have is another significant event in the life of Peter, the same Peter who wrote 1 Peter. It is Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1, the disciples are told to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching about Jesus. He's preaching from the book of Joel and how the Holy Spirit is going to come down on the people. And then it happens. Peter recognizes that it's the work of the Holy Spirit. He preaches the gospel. Many people repent. 3,000 souls in one day are saved. Peter is a vital person. Another example in the book of Acts is Peter. Again, when he goes and preaches the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, the significant thing which I love is when Jesus says, "I'm going to give you to the keys to the kingdom of heaven." What has he given him? He's given him, of course, the gospel, but Peter unlocks the gospel for both Jew and Gentile. Acts chapter 2 for Jews, and later in Acts, with the story of Cornelius, Peter brings the gospel to the Gentiles. It's just so great about who Peter is. I mean, his message is absolutely vital for us. So that's what we learn about Peter throughout the scriptures. All right, so that's a very important thing for us to learn, and we'll keep working through the text, and we'll keep looking at when he wrote it, why he wrote it, but let's look at the recipients. All right, so the recipients also found in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, "To those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, those who are chosen." All right, so there's a number of things right there in the text. And if you have at home a Bible map or a Bible dictionary or some way to get the map, if you pick up the Living in Discernment with End Times book, there is a map. in there that you can look directly at these locations: Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and Pontus. All right, so all of these there are what we know as modern-day Turkey. All right, so very much north of Jerusalem. And these believers, it tells us right there in verse 1 that they have been scattered. All right, so this is going to be a running theme. We'll come back to scattered in just a moment, but these are people also known as the diaspora, the people who had left Jerusalem because of persecution and suffering. So they are in Turkey. And when you look at that, though, when you look at those locations, one of them pops up off the page, doesn't it? The Galatia, that should jump out right away because, boy, didn't somebody else write a letter? Didn't somebody write something to Galatia? Yeah, we know it as the Book of Galatians. Paul wrote to the Book of Galatians. So Peter is writing to the same audience that Paul wrote to. So that's another important thing for us to know. All right, so let's look at a couple of other things about these believers. All right, so he says that they are chosen. And verse 2, don't worry, next episode, we're going to cover the topic a little bit closer. According to the foreknowledge of God by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. We'll look at that. Let's save that one for next week. And then we'll come back and look at chapter 1 over the next 2 episodes, actually. All right, so they are in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. All right, so these people living in what we know as modern day Turkey, they're chosen by God. They are born again. Oh man, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. One of my favorite worship leaders is Phil Wickham, and he has got a fantastic song called Living Hope. And so they are called born of God, born again to a living hope. All right, now let's look into verse 4. All right, so they are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, which is reserved in heaven for you. All right, so it says that these people, because they are chosen by God, they are born again, they have an imperishable inheritance. All right, that's another important thing for us to know. Verse 5 lays out another great fact about the recipients. These people, these aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, they are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Oh, man. There is so much in those first 5 verses. Can you see why we're going to spend so much time in this in the following weeks? They are chosen. They're born again. They have an imperishable inheritance. They are protected by the power of God. I mean, that, can you see, folks? Can you see why Peter is known as the apostle of hope? Does that not get you fired up just looking at those 5 facts about the author and the recipient right now? If not, rewind. Listen again, because it is so cool to see these things. All right, here's another fact that comes from verse 8. Verse 8 tells us, though you, church, you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. man. All right. I gotta hold back. I gotta pause myself because this is upcoming episodes, but these are facts that we need to know. All right. What does it tell us? These people became Christians after Jesus ascended into heaven. They were not around when Jesus was walking on the earth. It says they didn't see him, but they love him. They do not see him now because Jesus is in heaven, and yet you believed in him. All right, so this is really, really cool stuff. Let's go over to verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12 also is an indicator that tells us something very important about the recipients. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which you have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. There's a lot happening in that those verses. Remember, overview, overview, overview. We'll go back and we'll look in the third episode about the prophets and what they were searching. But here's a fact that we know about these recipients, that the gospel was previously preached to them, most likely not by Peter. Peter's indicating that somebody else preached the gospel to them beforehand. Could it be? Could it have been one of Paul's letters that reached these people and the gospel came to them? Remember the book of Galatians? Who has bewitched you? You're so quickly deserting what we taught you? I don't know. I'm just speculating here. We don't have that information within the text, but we just know that Peter, he was not the one who preached the gospel to this church and group of people that are scattered. All right, let's go and look at another fact that comes up, and it's in chapter 2, verse 12. One of the instructions, he says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. This body of believers, well, just by location, 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 we know that they are living among the Gentiles. They are aliens. They are scattered. They are foreigners. They are, in some of the translations, they describe them differently. NASB describes them as aliens. ESV calls them the elect exiles. The King James Version calls them strangers. The New Living Translation calls them foreigners. They are people who are not living in their proper home land. They were forced out of that homeland by persecution. Speaking of persecution, this is one of the topics that flows through the entire letter. Here's what's really great. If you simply observe the text, if you go and put a circle over all the references to the author, and you write a list on the author, and you go back and you put a box over all the references to the recipients and you list them out, you're going to start to see some key words that start popping off the page. Repeated themes. You're going to pick up historical context for what's going on in this letter. All right. In 1 Peter, one of the repeated themes throughout the scripture is persecution and suffering. All right. So in chapter 1, verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. All right, so there's another a reference to, hey, church, maybe you need a message of hope because of your suffering and persecution. In chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled." Do you see another reference to don't fall to intimidation, don't fall to fear, because you are going through suffering. In chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you when it comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation." Verse 15, "Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in his name." So here we've got a number of references to this church undergoing suffering. This is right from the letter, folks. We've not looked at any commentary work at this point. We're just observing what the text says. We're just seeing what Peter wrote with his own words right here in front of us before we go to any secondary source. All right, here's another part of that's going to build the historical context for us and the reason for writing. What we have here is we've got three references within the text that give us a greater indication of what this church was going through. Again, back to chapter 2, verse 12. And it says in chapter 2, verse 12, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So we've got a group of people who are slandering the church. Let's look at the next reference, and that is in chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Keep a good conscience, so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." Another reference to the word slander. One more reference that we want to look at, and it is found in chapter 4, verse 4. "In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living from the dead." Did you hear it? Another thing, they slander, malign. These people are not speaking highly of this church. They're mocking them, they're coming against them for who they are, and because this various trials, this suffering that is going on, all for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we get the reason for why Peter wrote this letter. And we find that reason not at the beginning, "Hey, church, I'm writing because of this." He says it in chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it." All right, so this is right there. If you got your Bible, right in the margin of the Bible beside chapter 5, verse 12, reason for writing. All right, he tells us right there. And you know what? We don't even really need to know at this point, what does he mean by that? Because remember, 10,000-foot view of the letter, we're going to come back and we're going to look at all of these things a lot closer as we go. All right. So, but what we've got here is we've got that I'm writing to briefly exhort, to encourage, and testify to you the true grace of God. So stand firm in that grace of God, that true grace of God. All right, so here's what we've got. All right, we've got author, we've got recipient, we've got the problem. We know that there is suffering by various trials, by fiery ordeals. We know that they are being slandered and maligned. And we know that because Peter knows what's happening in the church, he has written this letter of hope to them that they would stand firm in the true grace of God. As we work through these details, we are beginning to see some repetition. We're seeing some words that are mentioned more than once within the text. And one of those words is the word grace. And why does grace play such an important role in this? It's because Peter's reason for writing, which is stand firm in the true grace of God, we need to look closer at where this letter mentions grace. All right, so let's work through these together. All right, so the first mention of grace is found in chapter 1, verse 2. May grace and peace be yours to the fullest measure. It's down in verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. It is also found in chapter 1, verse 13. Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Flip over to chapter 3, verse 7. You'll see another reference to grace. You husbands in this, that's going to be a fun episode. You husbands in the same way live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Stay tuned. Chapter 4, verse 10. As each one of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And then we have that final reference to grace, which we already looked at, is in chapter 5, verse 12. Can you see how important the word grace is throughout the scriptures? So through these verses, grace is going to play a major part in this letter of hope. All right, there's one other thing I want to look at in this passage before we begin to draw out the time of writing and what it was like to live during that time. All right, let's look back into chapter 5 and that reason for writing. Through Silvanus, our father, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. All right, so it's very interesting because we've got this reference here to Babylon. We also have this reference to this she. Hangeth thou in there. But Babylon, and we know we've got this other name, Mark. Peter is writing this letter from Babylon. All right, now, what do you mean, Babylon? What are we talking about here? There's three interpretations of Babylon. All right. First, there was a location, Babylon, which was the name of a Roman outpost near Egypt. That's one interpretation of Babylon. Could Peter have been at this Roman outpost? Highly unlikely. The second reference is the Babylon that we know as modern-day Iraq. The Babylon that the Nebuchadnezzar Babylon. Was Peter writing from there? Most likely, no. But since the persecution was so intense on Christians at that time, that when Peter was writing, that many scholars have come to the conclusion and believe through the historical works as well, that Babylon is actually code. It's a code name for Rome. Because Christians were facing so much persecution that when these letters were written to be careful how they spoke about the current ruling powers, they would give code words for the way that they were speaking. And so it is highly likely, most likely, that Peter wrote this letter from Rome. The people that were in Rome that might have grabbed this letter, that were not in the know or had a fuller knowledge of what was happening, wouldn't know that Peter was referring to Rome when he says Babylon. But the people who knew, the people who were understanding, and they knew what the code for Rome was when he wrote Babylon, they would know exactly where Peter was. I think that's really cool. And you know what? That's not something that is new. That happens today. That happens today when we see people that can't give their specific location. They use code for people to know where they are and what they are doing. And so Peter wrote this from Rome. The time. Okay, now this is very interesting. The time of the writing is between 62 and 64 AD. All right, some people have written that it's possible. Now, I thought it was interesting and worth sharing, but I'm not sure that it's fully verified. You could ponder it and think about it, but because the Romans were causing great persecution, that Peter may have written this great letter of hope after the death of Paul. Now, I did some research on that and looked, and it's hard to determine whether that be the case, but there is a thought out there that that happened. If that were the case, it would be very interesting because Paul died in 64 AD. But if it's between 62 and 64 AD, this is a very interesting time in history. Nero, and I believe I've shared this these historical facts in one of our other podcasts, but Nero had this great desire to build. And because he had this great desire to build, he actually set fire to parts of Rome to burn it down so that he could build up better himself. And what he did when he set fire to Rome is many of the people there, they knew it was Nero. They wanted to blame him for doing it. But Nero used the Christians. Nero said it was the Christians who burned Rome, and he brought about some of the greatest persecution of the church that went to about 67 AD. And so this persecution of the church was so intense that Christians were being burned alive. When Peter talks about the fiery ordeal, legit, literally, Christians being dipped in some sort of fire, you know, that would cause fire. They were hung on poles in Nero's garden so that they could light the walkway of the garden. So Christians were being killed for their faith. And not only did he cause this major uproar within Rome, but his desire was to push that hate and that persecution for Christians outside of Rome to these neighboring areas, just like these people were facing these persecutions. At the time of the writing, scholars think that the church was about 35 years old. They were not opposed, or they had not really been in a point there where they had not experienced persecution. They experienced persecution and trials prior to this because they had been scattered and moved out. But the trials that they were facing at the time of this writing and through Nero's persecution were unlike they had ever experienced before. And so much so that some historians write that this church thought it was over, that this was the end, that this was the great tribulation that was to come, the tribulation of all tribulation, and that it would be the end of the church. Now think about that. Think about the fact that the persecution that they're facing, Christians being burned on the stakes for the purpose of lighting a walkway, being killed for their faith, being hunted down because they were being blamed for burning down a part of the city. The hate on by the Roman Empire for them, that they thought that this was the end. And he says to them, there's hope. This is a letter of hope for the church. And so what does he say to them? Here's the gist of the letter, and I cannot wait to dig into it. He says, you just got to hang in there, people. You got to stand firm in the true grace, because you suffer now, but Jesus suffered for us so that we could have that inheritance, that eternal inheritance that is to come. This is just a massive letter of hope. And don't you need hope? Don't you need to hear about this same hope? When we look at the culture around us, you know, we're seeing the moral decay. We're seeing the sexual sin that's worshipped. We're looking at how sin is just so prevalent and morality is dropping like crazy. It is just a world in which we're like, is this the end? Like, is this the end of the church? Well, Peter's letter applies to us. And he says, there's so much good to look forward to. We need to be people who have hope. Three key words that work through the entire letter, and we will draw them out in our next episodes, but they are suffering, grace, and glory. If you want to, this between the next episodes, because we release them bi-weekly, if you want to, between the episodes, walk through the text and look for those three words, suffering, grace, and glory. Well, I gave you all the references to grace. So you need to just look for suffering and glory. We're going to see how all three of these things run and come together. And there is a verse that if you're going to memorize a verse, if you're going to write down a verse, have it with you. Put it in your Living with Discernment book. Put it in your Precept Upon Precept book. Even better, highlight it in your Bible and memorize it, because this is a scripture that summarizes the entire book of Peter, and it is one that you want to hang on to for the rest of your life. And it is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Woo! Absolutely amazing. But when you look at that word, look at that verse, suffered, grace, and glory are all mentioned in that one verse. The three words that summarize the entire letter of 1 Peter right there, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. The application for us, this is so important for us as we study together 7 more episodes on 1 Peter. I hope you're looking forward to it as much as I am, but this is what we need to remember. Our current suffering will result in glory. Therefore, remember the true grace of God and stand firm. Stand firm until it's time to collect that eternal inheritance. I'm fired up. I'm fired up. I don't know about you if you're fired up, but I'm so fired up for this letter. I cannot wait to get back into this with you in our next episode. Blessings on you, folks. Stand firm in the true grace of God. Remember chapter 5, verse 10. Memorize it. Write it down. Don't forget it. Such a blessing. Let me pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for this letter. And we see, Lord, that it is so important for us today. Lord, we look at the example of these Christians and the things that they went through under Nero and think, oh, that could never happen to us today. But Father, we know there are Christians that are all over this land. They're being arrested. They're being beaten. Some even being put to death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, when we look at this world around us and the culture of what's happening in North America and even around the world, we look and think to ourselves, this is hopeless. And yet Peter, when he saw all that was happening to the Christians, he didn't write a letter about hopelessness. He pointed to hope. The things that needed to be remembered, we need to be reminded of, and the things that we are told to stand firm in what we know and in the true grace of God. Why? Because Jesus suffered for us. Lord, help us. Help us to remember these truths this week. Help us to be reminded of chapter 5, verse 10. Each moment of the day, let us memorize that so we can keep the hope focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this series of Unlocking the Truth with Precept Ministries Canada. Visit our website, preceptministries.ca, to find workshops and studies both in person and online that will further your journey in His Word and give you the tools to know God deeply and live differently.